declare this afternoon.
This is Dick Van Dyke with Flair. Now the Kirby Stone Four sing, If I Were a Bell. If I were a bell, I'd sure be trying to collect some of Grandfather Alexander Graham's royalties. Now let's go to Joe Layton, Hollywood, for a report on the new Hollywood Museum. They're just going to open it as soon as they finish the wing that will house Elizabeth Taylor's wedding rings.
Joe Layton has the flair for interviewing and for knowing what the citizens of Hollywood are doing.
This afternoon, I'm at a reception of the Beverly Hills Hotel, a reception of women, and the only men here are myself and Dr. Frank Baxter. I know what I'm doing here, Dr. Baxter. What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm enjoying myself immensely, just looking at all these gorgeous ladies. My word.
But you must have some other purpose.
No, of course, this is a meeting of the associates of the new and forthcoming Museum of Motion Picture and Television Arts and Sciences.
I understand you're going to be the head man of the new Motion Picture Museum.
No, I would never be head man of anything. I was the world's worst sergeant in World War I and probably prolonged the conflict by 5 weeks on my own. No, I'm just tremendously interested in this venture, and I believe it's going to be a wonderful thing for the millions of people who will visit it, and I think it will add a dignity and a prestige to these arts that it's about time should come about.
Isn't it almost too late to start a museum of an industry, particularly the motion picture industry, which is, say, 50 years old?
I should say it's almost too late, and yet I think another 10 years it would have been too late. But it's turned out not to have been too late, because it's amazing the collections that people have been making quietly through the years, individuals here and there, have built up magnificent collections of the very things that this museum needs.
Dr. Baxter, thank you very much.
Thank you for letting me be with you.
This is Joe Layton in Hollywood reporting for Flair.
Sarah Vaughan says they all laughed. She's referring to the time when Peter Tchaikovsky told his friends his middle name was Ilyich.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound.
Now I'm going over to the Flair Tennis Court to play tennis with Don Budge to illustrate the do's and the don'ts of the game. And you just guess who's going to be illustrating the don'ts.
Flair's tennis champion, Don Budge, is serving some tips on the game that won in his fame.
Hi, this is Don Budge for Flair. You know, during the years, I've talked with parents who've refrained from encouraging their sons to play tennis because they considered it a sissy's game. Of course, to anyone who's played through a tournament where you have to compete in grueling matches day after day against tough and strong competitors, tennis is anything but. Why this erroneous idea prevails, I can't say with assurance. Perhaps it has something to do with the use of the term love in scoring, which indicates that the player hasn't scored a point or won a game or set. Or maybe because there's no physical contact. Well, let me tell you that if you have to be on the receiving end of a ball coming at you at the speed of 125 miles an hour, the speed Ellie Vines' serve was clocked at, you'll soon find out tennis is no sissy's game. Or if you take a dive at a ball and end up flat in your face with a mouthful of clay, you'll agree with me that tennis can be tough. I remember once when I agreed to play with twice Olympic decathlon champion Bob Mathias. It was a hot summer day with a 90-degree temperature. And after only 10 minutes of play, he had to give up and take a rest. This was a man who kept himself in excellent physical shape. If one of the world's greatest athletes says it's not a sissy's game, you can take his and my word for it. Women play the sport, as they do many others, of course, but when men play it, it's a man's game. No, tennis isn't a game sissies play. Rather, it's one that sissies don't and can't play.
Today's inside story deals with mechanized matchmakers in Europe. I suppose the next they'll have vending machines for engagement rings and marriage licenses.
Here's another one of Flair's own inside stories with news you can use from any of many categories.
This is the Inside Story with Alan Edwards.
New way to propose marriage.
When Miles Standish got his best friend to do his courting, he didn't have the newest mechanical wrinkles going for him. Here's what we mean. The love-smitten girl sits home waiting for the bashful boyfriend to come over and pop the question.
Oh, Bob, I was wondering when you... Oh, you're not Bob. Who are you?
Well, Bob asked me to come over, Miss Finchley. He has something he'd like to say to you, and I'm here to let him say it.
I don't quite understand.
The way the modern Miles Standish works is to set up a tape recorder, string up a tape made especially by the shy swain, and then the rest of the courtship goes like this.
Okay, we're all ready now. Here's what Bob has to say.
Priscilla, darling, I just don't know how to tell you, but I love you, and I want to marry you.
You mean he sent you over with this recording so he could tell me he loves me?
That's right. You know, Priscilla, you're pretty cute.
You're pretty cute, too.
That's how European marriage bureaus are helping bashful boyfriends. If the girl doesn't succumb, the would-be husband has to fork up $15. If she goes for the recorded pitch, it costs him $25. So fellas who plan to propose electronically should be sure they really mean it before they commit their voices to a recording.
Alberghetti sings for us, we are offering a prize to the first person who calls in and spells her name correctly.
Oh, do it again. I may say no, 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 but do it again. My lips just ache to have you taste the feast of
Yes, ma'am, you're absolutely right. Her name is spelled A-N-N-A. And your prize is that you get to hear Charlotte Lord talk about getting a bargain at the discount store.
Charlotte Lord, next on Flair, may not make you a millionaire, but she'll tell you how to have some cash to spare by spending your money with care.
This is Charlotte Lord for Flair. Are you really getting a bargain when you buy at a discount store? And are they reliable? A discount house can be as dependable as any other store, but not all of them are alike. Large, nationally known firms can't afford unfair dealings. They may even add their own guarantee to already name-brand products and refund your money if the merchandise is returned within a specified time. There are others who sell cheaper grades of merchandise, sometimes at full retail price, often above it when they offer easy payments. Watch out for the discount broker who shows you samples. Often he'll take your money and fail to deliver the specific item or model that you ordered. Be careful of discount clubs. You seldom have to join a club or pay a fee to buy things for less. Ask your local store for a discount. There are times when he will give you some products at a lower price. Remember, nothing's a bargain unless it's something you need, will fill your requirements, purchased at a fair price, and performs up to expectations. A car sold to you for several hundred dollars below the going price, but in constant need of repair, could hardly be called a bargain any more than a $10 dress that doesn't suit you or fit. To get the best price for anything, know what you're buying and the going rate for something similar.
Now it's time to twist with the Les Elgard Orchestra. We don't ordinarily play the twist on Flair, but we had to do something to keep Senator Claghorn occupied till he's on later in the show. Karloff discussing the problem of children knocking on doors. Gee, at our house, the problem is that they don't knock on doors.
Boris Karloff, Boris Karloff, he will tell you what to do if your babies or your children are bewildered to you.
Whence is that knocking? How is it with me when every noise appalls me? Shakespeare gave those words to Macbeth. But if you live in a suburban neighborhood where there are lots of children and door-to-door salesmen, you may feel at times as though they've been written just for you. Baby is napping, and you're stretched out with a new magazine enjoying a short siesta before scrubbing the kitchen floor. Three-year-old Jackie from next door picks this moment for a social call. He knocks the way all little children do, as though they were performing a loud and lengthy drum solo. The dog starts barking and the baby starts crying. End of siesta. Well, one mother we know devised a very effective way of dealing with these disturbers of the peace. On a large piece of construction paper, she pasted a picture of a baby sleeping, and underneath she wrote, "Baby is asleep. Please do not knock." Tots who couldn't read the words could read the picture and soon learned to refrain from knocking when the sign was on the door. As for the men who came selling gadgets for trimming artichokes, well, they interpreted the sign as meaning that the lady of the house would be more receptive to their sales pitch if they came back later.
Thank you. Frank Sinatra says he has a pocket full of miracles. And with all the change he has, he's lucky he's got room for them.
P-Rack-a-Cal-a-D-D-A doesn't interest me. Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. T-Rubbles more or less, be you're the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple that's mine, all mine. I hear sleigh bells ringing smack in the middle of May. I go around like there's snow around. I feel so good, it's Christmas every day. Lee, I've the carousel, VR as I can tell, and I'm riding for free. So if you're down and out of miracles, I've got a pocket full of miracles. But if I had to pick a miracle, my favorite miracle of all is you.
Mel Torme says, don't let that moon get away. Don't worry, Mel. It's been racing with Vaughn Monroe for years, and it's too tired to move.
It's one of those nights for adventure. We ought to be recklessly gay. Who knows what we'll find? So if you're inclined, don't let that moon get away. Your eyes have a way of revealing the thoughts that you really should say. It may be romance, so while there's a chance, don't let that moon get away. And don't let this meeting adjourn, and don't be so ready to go. For now is the right time to learn. Moments don't happen so often. I kind of think we shouldn't delay. If you feel it too, here's what you do. You better take advice from Torme. And don't let that moon get away. Don't you dare let that moon get away. Baby, don't let that moon get away.
Munich correspondent Fran Spellman reports on a millionaire's playground. The sandbox is filled with gold dust, and you get an engraved invitation to seesaw.
Herr Fran Spellman is on the line from the land of Schnitzeland. May wind up the Elbe and down the Rhine, reporting for the Flair Fräulein.
This is Fran Spellman from Munich. Millionaires' playgrounds nowadays exist in all four corners of the earth, from the West Indies to Tahiti, from Kenya to the Côte d'Azur. But the one and greatest rich man's retreat is a place which until now has successfully fought off most attempts for a closer look. It's a romantic castle in Austria. This castle now houses the Mittersill Hunting and Shooting Club, whose permanent membership of 60 claims to be the most exclusive club in the world. The list includes the King of Belgium and Bob Hope, Aristotle Onassis and Henry Ford III, Bing Crosby and Mr. Krupp. The annual membership fee is $1,000, but this provides only the privilege to rent one of the 30 rooms in the castle for daily rates which start at $100 per bed. Since applications for admittance to membership of this club are piled up for years to come, my report is a strict non-commercial for what the tired but playful millionaire expects and gets at Mittersill. A maid servant and steady attendance for each of the beautiful antique furnished rooms. A dozen valet butlers. 4 French blue ribbon cooks in the huge hall which houses the kitchen, a special mechanic furloughed from England to service your own Rolls Royce, 6 attendants in special uniforms to serve during hunting picnics, a man who pours bath salts in the swimming pool, a torch maker who takes care of the illuminations in the terrace each night, a veterinarian, and an animal psychiatrist to take care of nervous guests' pets. This is Franz Spellman from just outside Smithersville.
Been brought to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. We'll be right back.